Well, it is all your prayers. Do you really believe that there's a God? Do you believe there's only one God? Well, do you really believe that Jesus was the Son of God? Believe He was born of a virgin? Do you believe that there's a hell? You believe there's a heaven? Do you believe that God created everything that was created? You believe God created that? You believe that God created all the stars of the in the heavens and created all the planets and everything, I guess, that we don't even know of? You believe God did that? Well, that's important that you do. But I believe there'll be a lot of people that go to hell believing that. Because you can believe that. As a matter of choice to say, I've got to believe something, so, well, I look and I'm here. I don't know about that sometimes. Why am I me anyway? Maybe you don't think along the lines I do, but sometimes I'll sit down and think, this is just amazing. If I wasn't here so definitely here and know it, I'd doubt this whole thing. How can I be here anyway? But I am. And why ain't I you? How did I get to be me? And why ain't I you? You ever think of things like that? I'm amazed at those kind of things as I think about it. But there's a God that answers all those questions for me. When I get to thinking about things like that, and sometimes I'll look into the night sky and see the stars and know how magnificent it is and how far it is and how grand it is and all those things, and I get the feeling so small and insignificant. There's something that always makes sense about the whole thing to me, and that's that there's a God. That there's a God. Well, if you believe there's a God and only one God, and that He sent His Son by ways of a virgin into this life to live here, to teach, to preach, to bring the gospel and to die for it and to die for our souls. And if you believe there's a God of creation, and if you believe that there's a heaven and a hell, then I'm going to say that you probably believe tonight that you have a soul. And that you have a soul that will never die. Oh, there is an eternal death. But there is a soul that will always be in existence. Do you believe that? Well, you answered yes to the rest of it. So, yes to that. I, by the time I was born, and probably before I was born, some while before I was born probably, because the Lord states those kind of things, I became a creation of God. And I have a soul. And that is going to have to be something that I'll have to deal with in my life. I've been thinking some about some of the things said in the meeting this year and some of the things that I see in life. People put their values on many things. Some people, it is very important to them to drive a fine automobile. There's nothing wrong with that. But they make that a very important part of their existence, of their status, who they are can be seen by the fact that they drive a certain kind of vehicle. If given the choice, some people would rather have a fine vehicle than a decent house to live in. Nothing wrong with it, it's just a choice. They would rather live in a shack and drive a fine vehicle than live in a fine house and drive a junker. And that's just choices. Some people would rather, that some people's goal and idea of success in life is to have a fine home. And again, there's nothing wrong with any of these things. They're choices that people make in their lives. Some people will not have a fine car or a fine house, but they put most of their money into eating. I actually know people like that, that lived very, very poor, put almost nothing into a vehicle, if nothing, and very, very little into a home to make it worth living in, but spent all their money on going out to find places to eat. They like that was what meant something to them. And so they spent all that they was able to do that because that's what they seen as valuable in life. And other people have other things that make importance. There is people that don't want things like you think you might want. In the news recently, there was a man that I remember reading about it. He saw a homeless man sitting. And he came along and he felt sorry for him because the weather was cold. And he was sitting there without any kind of warm clothes on. And he didn't have any shoes or boots on. So the man felt sorry for him and went and got him the things. He got him something to cover himself with and got him a new pair of boots to put on him. And he done all these things to take care of him and left him. And when he come back sometime later, just not very long later, he was sitting there without either coat or boots. It wasn't that he couldn't get them. It was that that's not what he wanted. It's not what he wanted. It don't make sense to me, but it's not what the man wanted. And everybody has things in their life that's important that they put. I know somebody else that liked to hunt and fish that never owned a home all their life. They never owned one. But they loved to fish. And they had, I probably got two or three rods and reels if I was gathering them up. My son's got one. My daughter's got one. We got a few rods and reels around my place. But this guy had an armload of them. All kinds. Bait casters, spin casts, undercasts, all kind of reels, rods, all kinds of them. When it comes to hunting, he had all kind of rifles and shotguns and things like that. He never owned a home, but he had all the things that was important to him. A home wasn't, but he had the things that he put value on. And people do that in life. There's people that want to be somebody. It's very important to them to be somebody, to be looked at as somebody. Do you know that there is people that want to be famous, even if it's infamous? They want to be known even if it's infamous, even if it's something that's bad, not good. Just as long as they can be known, it's okay with them. Do you know a lot of these people that go in and shoot up places, they do it because they want to be the one that is known to be doing. They want to make a name for themselves. They feel like life is short and I'm never going to be anything, so if I could go kill the president, then my name would be in history books from now on. My name would be spoken if that could be that. And that's pretty much John Wilkes Booth. I have no reason to know who Booth was other than he assassinated President Lincoln. His name went out through history and he became somebody, even though it's infamous, it's evil. He's known all this time through, and people want to be somebody, want their name on something or do that. But I want to say, whatever your goal is, and I hope everybody has some goals or something that they'd like to see accomplished or something. But of all the things, though, that you can think of that you might think is important, I want to tell you tonight what is the greatest thing, the greatest obligation that you have, the thing that you ought to set your most promising thing on. is your soul. There is nothing worth more tonight than your soul. That's why I wanted to ask the question, do you really believe? What sense would it make to lose your soul? You only got one. You don't get another chance at it. Once you leave this life, you don't get another chance for your soul. And you may say, oh, I want to have something. I want to build up to have something. And this is what I want to do. There's nothing wrong with most of those things. But there is something that you ought to consider as a goal beyond all of it. And to make sure that you always have your heart set in this one place. That my soul is the most important thing that I'll ever have any contact with. It is the thing that I ought to put above every house. We heard about the lottery. People give to try to win that lottery so they can be set. But I'm going to tell you, there's something more important than that lottery. Can I ask another question? Is there anybody in here think that you'll live forever on this earth? Is anybody planning to say that you're not going to die? Well, nobody would say such a thing as that. So when we put it all together in just basic logic, would have to say that my soul would have to be more important. Do you believe that the soul will live forever? Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that it is either going to live in a eternal bliss with our loving Savior, or it's going to live forever in a hell damnation? You believe that? That's just as much Scripture as anything else that I've said tonight. And do you know that the only difference, what it really comes down to, is that I have given to me by the Lord something that is so precious and so valuable, and most people on a daily basis just look over it. They never attend to it. They never think of the value that it really has. In the 10th chapter of Matthew, in the 39th verse, let me back up a little bit. 36th verse. It says, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Be that he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Okay, go back to the 36. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Again, it comes down to this one very important idea. That I have a soul. I have a soul that if it's lost, it's going to be on me that it's lost. If it's saved, it's going to be on me that it's saved. The choice is given to me tonight to whether I want to be saved or I don't want to be saved. I can't save myself. But the Lord made a way that I can choose to be saved. I can't, no amount of being smart, no amount of figuring, no amount of procedures is going to get me saved. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the Lord made a process of salvation, and He gives to us, He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You can have rest for your soul, so the choice is there to be made. And He puts it real squarely before us tonight, that we shouldn't let anybody, well, it's not, I'm not about to let the man down the street get my salvation from me. I'm not about to let some stranger do it. I'm not about to let the president do it or the Congress do it. I'm not about to let the Supreme Court decisions do it. But He got closer than that. He got down to where it's right in the foes of your own household. I mean, it's right down to the closest people among you. The Lord wants us to make have a definite passion. He wants us to make a definite consecration. I mean to go to heaven. I mean to have my soul saved. The Scripture says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So it isn't just happens and I'm saved. I am, but I got to continue on. That means I got to meet the Lord one of these days. At the end of my life, no matter how long the journey is, I'm going to have to be faithful. I'm going to have to be able to present my soul to the Lord and hear Him say, "Well done, you've done a good job. You availed yourself of the grace of God, and through your trials and temptations, you won the battles. You got it." And that means, I love my mom and dad. They're still alive, and I thank God that they're still alive. Dad just turned 78 years old, and he's fairly good health, and I'm very thankful for that. And I love him very much, but not enough to lose my soul over. If he don't go, I'm going without him. I want him to go. He's one of the people that I pray for. I desire that he be saved. He was saved at one time. I desire that he be saved again. I pray God would deal with his heart. But if he don't go, I'm not going to lose my soul. I can't save him by losing my soul. I've got my soul I have to tend with. And the Lord said, "Oh, father or mother," getting right down where it's close now. The idea here is don't let anything interfere with the one thing that you got into your control. The fact of it is, I can't save you. I can't save father and mother. I can't save my children. I can stand as an example for them. I can pray for them, and possibly through the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man, perhaps God would deal with them in the time of their needs and save their souls. But I can't save them. And it won't do them any good for me to lose my soul over it. Make your soul your number one goal. If you can have a nice car and have your soul, that's fine. But don't lose your soul over a nice car. Don't put it first. Put your soul first and let everything else come around. When I say soul, you know what I mean. The relationship with the Lord that keeps the soul safe. "And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." What this is meaning is that there was... Jesus actually did it. But I think in the Bible days that a criminal that was going to be crucified had to pack his own cross. One of his things that he had to do was is they put the burden of his own cross on him. And the Lord carried his cross. He was going to carry it too. And he said, "Unless you take up your cross too." Do you know that your soul is more important than any amount of suffering or sacrifice that you can do? I remember something, although I didn't know her, and I guess her daughter's here, but Sister Eck said one time, I remember that they quoted her by saying in a minister's meeting one time, they was having a minister's meeting and there was an issue about, and the final statement was, is that a heaven will be worth it at any price. In other words, give God the room here to do whatever, because heaven's going to be worth it at any price. You won't suffer anything here that heaven won't pay for. You won't go through anything here that it won't be made up in heaven. There is nothing can happen to you here in this earth that is more valuable than your soul for you to try to get out of it. In other words, I had a vision one time, or a daydream, if you will, or a thought, but it was very real to me. That I was saying that I had visualized this, that I'd come up before the Lord. And the Lord said, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." And I said, "But Lord, wasn't there anything you could have done for me to keep me saved?" And the Lord said, "Yes, I can send affliction your way, but you wouldn't want it." And in my mind, I said, "Yes, I would. Yes, I would. I may not want it now, but I surely would have wanted it then." And there is nothing, folks, in the Lord's words, that we ought to put above our souls. Listen, we're eternity bound. We all know this. Listen, I've been coming to Holly Hill for a number of years now. I've known you folks for a number of years now. And I've seen this congregation change. Some of you all that was in younger are getting older. Some of the ones that was older have been gone for a long time. Brother Tommy's mom and dad used to sit, they sat there for years when I come down here. They haven't been here for years. Things have changed. There's been a number of folks that was right here through the years. They're gone. The dynamics of this congregation is changing. Brother Alvoid ain't passed away, but he's not here because he's getting older. Things is changing. You know, we're all eternity bound. Oh, we can up and say that incident where you said something against me, I feel so good about holding it against you. I feel so right about it, or I feel so justified to having bitterness in my heart towards you that I won't go ahead and hold that to you. How foolish. How foolish. How foolish to say that there's a song that I like real well, and yeah, it is a bad song, but I just like it so well. Or there are these things I like to watch, and I like them so well. How foolish. In the idea that we're here so short of a time, even if we live to 80, 90 years, what a vapor that appears for a little while and passes away. How foolish to think. And that is if we get that. The fact of it is, not everybody gets that. And some goes a lot quicker than that. So Jesus says this. He says, "He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Okay? Basically, he's saying it is foolish for any temporal reason, for any gain of things, to risk your soul for. It's foolish. To find your life, in other words, is to make the pattern of my life. This is the way I want Marty Clevenger's life to be. I want to be wealthy. I want to have prestige. I want certain things in my life. And I'm going to do anything to do that. No matter if it takes, if I have to work across Sunday morning, I'll do it. If I have to do whatever I got to do, I'll do it in order to gain my life. If I wanted it to do, but the Lord warned, you find it, you'll find it. You can have a life the way you want. God will grant you a life to follow. Is any one of us here not free to follow a life that we want? Can I not right now do what I want to? Do you know if I wanted to, I could say good riddance to you all and march right out that door and go get in my van and leave if I want. I can do what I want to do. Can I? I'm free to do it. But the Lord said, you can. I'll even give you the right to do it. Follow your dreams. Pursue your ways. But if you find your life, you'll lose it. You know what He meant? You'll lose it eternally. You'll lose it eternally. You'll get the gratifications, as we've heard in this meeting, of a rich man. There was a rich man one time. He fared sumptuously every day. He was arrayed in purple and fine linens, and all things was great and wonderful to him. But the Scripture said he died. Oh, this was the case. He pursued his life. And he got his life, didn't he? He gained his life. He was able to be what he wanted to be. And no doubt he partied. No doubt he showed everybody of what value of a person he was. He went on through life without taking a real mind for his soul. But what happened one day? In hell, he lifted up his eyes. How foolish. How foolish. And knowing that he was going to die because everybody before him did. And everybody after him will too. And yet he trifled. He trifled with his soul. He should have made it. His number one goal and ambition and desire in life was to secure his soul first. But he let it go. There's an old saying that says that the way to hell is paved with good intentions. Or in other words, I aim to make that right. I aim to be a little bit more spiritual one of these days. I aim to make it right with my soul. And that bitterness I got in my heart, I'm going to get rid of that one of these days. Or that wrong, or that cheat, that where I cheated or lied, I take care of that one of these days. And all, as the saying is, that past is paid with people's intentions. All the way down, they intend to do better. The Scripture also talks of a man who was a rich man, whose fields brought forth plenty. And he looked at all that and said, I got too much stuff to go into the barns of God. So, what should I do? I know what I'll do. I'll tear down the barns that I've got, and I'll build bigger barns. And I'll have increase. And then he said, and I'll say to my soul, soul, take your ease. You can take your ease now. We got much laid up for many years. Oh, but the Lord said something, didn't He? He said, thou fool, what a foolish thing it is to take the most precious, the most valuable part of our whole existence and trifle with it. But he sought his own life. He got his own life. He got his own things, his own temporal things, and he made his life. But Jesus said, if you gain your own life, you'll lose it. And that night, the Lord said, thou fool, for this night, shall your crops be? Nope. This night, shall your barns? Nope, not inspecting barns. Or we're not harvesting grain tonight, my brother. We're harvesting your soul tonight. Tonight, the inspector inspects your soul. Tonight, we're going to see just how much fruit you've got. Thou fool, for this night, your soul is going to be required of you. And the Scripture also says of those that gain many things and are rich, that they know not who they leave it to, whether it be to the wise or to the fool. Oh, how many times that very thing has played. A man spent all of his life pulling in, raking in, doing everything he can to gain a great fortune and do all that, and then he dies and leaves it to what he don't know. Whether it be somebody as wise as he was to go ahead and make profit off of it or to just squander it. But whichever one it is, you definitely don't take it with you. None of this stuff trails along behind you. And Job knew enough of to say, naked I come into the world, and naked I leave. Dust I came in, and dust I shall return. You don't bring anything in, you don't take anything out. The Scripture also says, as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. If it falls to the north, it lies to the north. If it falls to the south, it lies to the south. And folks, when time's up for you, the condition of your soul is forever stamped eternally. And it is what the Scripture says, you'll go to your long home. See, this is your short home. You're going to go to your long home and forever. And ever and ever. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. The amount of people that have went before us that have been faithful, thank God for every one of them. I appreciate those that shows that the grace of God is not just a theory. It's a working, active reality in the hearts and lives of people that enabled them to do the most outstanding things. But Jesus said, if you lose your life for my sake, you'll gain it eternally. You know, there has been people that fulfilled this. You can lose your life in just the sense of giving it up to the Lord in this life, which is partially what this means. But there is a Actually, there is a also a very real part of this too. And in the day that Jesus lived, in the following centuries, there were many people that lost their life for His sake. That they tried to stamp out Christianity by taking the Christians and thinking that the fear would be so outstanding that if we take a few of these Christians and we do hideous things to them, we'll destroy the Christian faith. But it hardly had that to it, did it? That's not what happened. The more they tried to stamp them out, the more it grew. You know why it grew? Because there was people looking on saying, what do they have? What do they have? What causes them to do that? How can a man walk willingly? How can he walk willingly up to be burned? And burn there with victory, waving an old burnt stub, not shouting or crying or begging loose, but to give his life. Well, how do they do that? And it caused Christianity to grow and grow. And Jesus said, this is the meaning of this scripture. And this is a tough one, but hang with me. Your literal life is not worth your soul. That's what this scripture means. This earthly life isn't even close to the value of your eternal soul. And so therefore, put your soul above your very life. Don't recant the Lord. Don't recant your faith. Don't give up your faith. Don't give in to what people think are pressures. People are giving up a lot more than just the actual death. They give up because of peer pressure. They give up because they think the people are looking at them funny. They're being ridiculed, and people don't like to be ridiculed. And those kind of things make people give up on the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, hang true to the Lord, because there's nothing more valuable tonight than your soul. And one of these days, when you hear the Lord say, enter in, thou good and faithful servant, it'll be worth everything that ever challenged your life. And it won't even be close either. I think the apostle said, for these light afflictions which are for a moment, they're nothing. They're shallow. They're weightless compared to the glory of the things that the Lord has for us. To think of what He has over there is so far above what we have to do here. No matter what kind of suffering, you take the worst suffering that a man can undergo. We've seen some of it pretty close. And it's hard to go through. It's hard to imagine. But it's just for a while. It's just for a while. It's only here in these bodies. And the Lord allows it from time to time. But He gives His people grace. To be able to those that say, Lord, I'm going to go with You no matter what. Because I have a value for my soul. I want to look at another scripture. Over in Matthew 16 chapter. This is very familiar. It's in the 24th verse. 16th chapter of Matthew says, then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. Folks, I'm going to tell you what a cross is for. It's not to carry around so everybody can see that you've got a load or that you've got a burden. I've seen sometimes, and I'm not being critical of it, but I've seen a couple times in my life be driving along a highway and see a guy going with a cross. You ever seen that? I've seen that before. But most of the time when I see it, I want to holler out the window, that's not what it's for! You can pack a cross around all your life, buddy, but that's not what a cross is for. A cross is to die on. It's not to pack around. Oh, it's a good emblem, so I'm not critical of it. Anybody wants to carry a cross around to show that so people think of the Lord, you got my approval. But I'm just saying, that's not what it's for, to be packing around, so you got a burden. Jesus just didn't pack it around. And He said to pick up your cross and follow me. Mister, you're going to need that for the flesh. Be willing to use that. The cross is suffering. It's painful. It hurts. But it's valuable. His cross is valuable. You got one too. We all do. The way of Christianity has never, true Christianity has never been the popular route. It's always been said in this service. There is a straight and narrow way. And then there is a broad way too. That many are on the broad way, but a few will pick the straight and narrow, and it's because of the cross. So He says, take up His cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Then He says, for what is it is a man profited? That's a question. If he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. All right, let's answer the question. What is he profited? You want to answer the question? You believe there's God? You believe there's hell? You believe there's eternity? You believe Jesus came to save us? You believe there's a plan of salvation? You believe the gospel still applies to 2013? You believe that the grace of God is available for us in life? I'll ask you this question. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What profit is it?
None.
None. There's no profit to it. So whatever goal you have tonight that's above your salvation, it isn't going to profit you. Because there is no profit to it. There is profit, some profit, to the way we live peacefully, the way that we live in comfort, and those kind of things, but none of that is worth our souls. Oh, how glorious it is for those that have got their soul saved, got it in the right place, and then let everything fall. I enjoy life, folks. I'm saved, got my soul right. I know if I die and go to heaven, I got it right with the Lord, but I can drive fine vehicles. That God didn't condemn me of that. I can live in a nice home. I can live in a nice clean place. I can have the good things. I eat the same food you do. But got my soul right first. It won't profit you. It won't profit you to gain the whole world. And I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to gain the whole world. You ain't even going to get a good chunk of it. You're going to get a little bit, make you feel good about yourself. You're not going to get anything. Not really. But what would it profit you if you got it all? Think about it. Now, I rule everything. The whole world is mine now. Right now. And you're my subjects. Got to do what I tell you to. You know, I'm still going to die and face God. I'm still going to die and face God. You're not going to get by with anything here. Oh, you can get by with us because we don't know. But God knows it all and you're not going to get by. And He asked that question, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Then, got another question for you. Well, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And I really think that this scripture is really trying to put our minds into the idea that now you went ahead and gained your little chunk of the world, and now you've been found short, and now you've met the Maker, and the Maker says, depart from me, ye cursed, and now you're in eternal, everlasting fire. What would you give now? Now here's the question. What would you give now? Not as you presently set. Because it's easy to be feeling good and say, because the world's doing it. But that's not what He's trying to intend here. He's trying to say that after you get where the rich man's at tonight, what would the rich man give right now for a saved soul? You think he would have gave up his purple robe? You think maybe he would have lent a little bit more food to Lazarus? You think maybe he might have even took him in and let him sleep in his bed? You think he might have gave some of his profit to charitable things? You think maybe he would have been more diligent in prayer? You think maybe he would have been a very fine and upstanding guy? Yeah. And that's what this means. If you think about it now, you think I'm in fine health, I'm in good situation, and I got all my life to live. But answer it from that point of view, that you've lost your soul. I'm going to tell you, the answer to this question is, the first answer is, not, there is no value. And the second answer is, everything. A man would give everything he has for his soul. Well, we've got that opportunity. Through Christ, we have the opportunity to give our whole lives to Him. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. We'll look at another scripture in Psalms 119. Well, who's responsible? If my mom and dad would have raised me better, I'd be saved. There might be truth in that when they answer to God, but you won't be able to use it. Well, if the preacher had been more faithful, I'd be saved. If the saints had treated me better, I'd be saved. Well, if I'd had a better lot in life, I'd have been saved. Folks, there's no excuse on this. Thou art inexcusable, O man. There's no excuses left. In Psalms 119 and 109 says, my soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. My soul is continually in my hand, meaning that the choices that I make, I cannot defer it on you. There is grace of God to live right in this life. And that is above everything that there is. The relationship that I can have with God is what I'm going to have to be judged for. Some people have said, I've heard them say, I don't want to know much because I'll be responsible for it. That don't work that way. God knows what you can know too. You know what? You can sit and try to outthink God all you want to, and you won't be able to do it. Well, I just won't know anything, and I won't be responsible for anything. So I'll just stay as ignorant as... You ever know somebody say that? I have. But that ain't going to work. My soul is continually in my hand. There's things I need to know, and I better know them. There's things that I need to do, and I better do them. Because you can't do it for me. And there's, folks, we're going to have to get to this. I appreciate the way the Lord set it up. That if I can call on my brethren, I can call on those that know prayer, and they can pray for me. But I'm going to tell you, there's a time you need to know how to pray for yourself. There's something that you're going to have to do for yourself. You're going to have to, my soul is continually in my hand. I'm going to tell you, I've been in places before to where the saints have been precious. That they have called, sent cards, supported me in every way, but there was a place that they couldn't go. They would have if they could have, but they couldn't. All their words of encouragement couldn't touch the heartache. It couldn't touch the seriousness of the burden. They couldn't go that deep. I had it down there, and it was something that needed touch, and the saints couldn't get there. But there was one that could. Well, then if you can't get there, it wouldn't be your responsibility, would it? You know what it took? It took me standing before the Lord and pouring myself completely out. I emptied myself before the Lord. I completely emptied myself out and said, Lord, I'm done. I don't know what else to say or do. I'm done. And that's when the Lord opened the windows of heaven and something came on my soul. Because to be honest with you, it seemed like it was too much for me. But not with the Lord's grace, it wasn't. It was too much for Marty. But it wasn't too much for the Lord. And I had to have that in order to continue on. My soul was in my hands at that moment. I could either choose that way or I could say, I'm done with this altogether. Because there's no help here for me. But my soul is continually in my hand. There is something, and I'm so thankful for this, there's something that's bigger than me. We get in trouble when we make the biggest thing in our life us. When you think the whole world's rotating around you, you've done messed up. It isn't rotating around you. It rotates around the Lord. It's God makes this whole thing rotate. It's all about the Lord. It's all about the Lord. Make it all about the Lord. I'm not going to, for time's sake, I'm not going to turn there, but I want to go through a little bit. If you want to look at it, it's in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. It was a shepherd boy named David that had some experience with the Lord. Killed a lion and a bear, which was outstanding. That isn't something you want to trifle with, a lion and a bear. But he done it, but he never thought that he was a great warrior because he did. It was the God delivered him into his hand. And there come a time that the Philistines was encroaching in on Israel. And so King Saul and his army pitched a battle against them. And a number of David's brothers, was three of them at least, was in the army. Had been called up to fight. So they're all up there. And Jesse, David's father, calls David in and says, go up and see how your brothers fare. And go up and greet the captains, give them some corn and some cheese, and see how they fare. So David was obedient and went up there. And when he got up there, he looked, and on the other side, this is my mind, they're on one side and up on the other, and out walks all the Philistines, this great big guy, 9 foot 9 inches tall. He had armor that weighed about 140 pounds. And here he comes, a magnificent warrior. From the time he was a youth, he was a warrior, until a grown man, almost 10 feet tall, comes out there and challenges the army of Israel. And they all quaked and feared. But David didn't. Folks, there's something more important. There's a cause. There's a cause that's important. The cause of God's important tonight. Your soul is the most valuable thing. Second to your soul in value is the souls of others. Because everything else is going to perish. But the souls will never perish. That's a heartache to all of us to see a loved one die with little hope. That's why we want to keep the call strong. We want to make sure that there's a place, that there's a people, and in particular that there's a person that knows how to get a hold of God, that knows how, that knows that there's a cause, that's willing to give themselves. You know, David here was willing. This was what his heart was. The rest of these men feared. But David, what overshadowed it all with David was is that there was a cause. And David dying was the smallest amount of it. How could you allow a man to badmouth God? How could you let a man badmouth God's people? How could you let a man badmouth the army of God? Well, we don't fight a carnal battle. This all has a spiritual significance to it. And David went there and he saw that and he said, who's to fight the guy? Well, they said, what are you talking big for? Well, what do you get if you do it? Well, the king said you could get such and such and such. Well, and he said, well, somebody ought to do it. And his brothers come along and said, I know, we know the naughtiest of your heart. We know what you're up to. You just come up here to see a battle. And he said, he looked to one side and said, is there not a cause? And then he turned and said, is there not a cause? Trying to say to them, isn't there something bigger than we are? Is this what we're going to go down in history forever as cowards that won't stand up for the truth? That won't stand up for God? Here we are, after our lineage, our heritage of God being a delivering and a helping, a blessing, healing people, touching people, working in people's lives, delivering them from the altar, and now here we are, going to cow down to a giant? What bigger is it? Yeah, he's just flesh. He's just flesh. So he goes and says, I'm a man, send me. Send me, I'll go do it. I wonder what everybody must have thought. But there is something about him. We'll say this about him. He's strong in spirit. But we know the story. What happened? He goes down there, doesn't he? Saul says, here, take my armor. You're going to need some armor. No, I haven't proven that. That's not something that's proven. Folks, listen. There's such significance in this. There's a way that's tried and proved. We don't need you to take on the things that ain't been tried and proved. David already slew the lion and the bear. He didn't need these other things. He had God on his side. He didn't need to come up with something new or something fantastic or something that shined or glittered. He didn't need that. He wasn't going defensively anyway. He was going in the name of the Lord. Offensive. Folks, the most important thing is that cause in us. He went down there, picked him up some stones, and he faced quite a battle. Is there not a cause tonight? He won. Didn't look like he could. Looked like there was no way that he could come out on that. If you would have seen that, who would you have said, I think the one that's going to win you, I don't see how that little fella would ever get that big guy down. How's he going to do it? Well, I remember people saying that I suppose he probably practiced. I remember having a sling and practicing. Oh, I practiced. I wonder if David was good with that sling. Well, maybe he was, but I'll tell you what happened to me. I got there at my house one time. I had my sling and I was throwing rocks. And I could aim pretty good if I just take it like this and I take one good sling and let it go. And I could get close to some things one time, but I was down there and I thought, I'm going to fling a rock across the river. And boy, I was winding that thing and I give it a throw. And I looked, but I never saw the rock. And I heard crash behind me. And then I heard my mom squall, Mommy, what you? I slung a rock through the front door window, the window in the front door. Well, that door, the house would draft sometime, and when the door had shut, it was a big glass, and it'd break that glass sometimes. So my dad, just like a week before, he went and he had put a new pane of glass in there, and he got this great big thick glass. And he was proud of it, and he said, oh, that won't break. Now this glass here won't break. I think it would have withstood just about anything but that rock that I threw. Busted right through there. My aim wasn't no good. David didn't need a good aim either. I think he had direction enough. But I'm going to tell you, that rock didn't go because David was a good shot. We threw that rock and I mean dead center. Maybe he was that good, but it was still the Lord that made him that good. But I think different. I think David flung the rock. I think he was faithful and he went down there and he tossed the stone. He'd done his part. He had courage, he had faith in God, and he had something more than all that, folks. It was a cause in his heart. Salvation was his cause. He had salvation, the work of God, in his heart. He could have been a loser, but he would have lost trying. Folks, we'll never lose our souls if we try. God knows the honest heart. God can keep those things which we commit to Him. There is something that every one of us tonight ought to put as our goal. Top of the page. Our goals. You start off with the New Year's resolution. Start off with number one for 2014. We're already in 2013. Number one, the continuous salvation of my soul. Then you do whatever the little things you want to do. Well, I want to lose some weight. I'd like to try to get a new car this year. I want to do it. All those things are proper. But the top one ought to be the salvation of my soul. I'm going to keep that above everything else that comes along. I want to be saved. Lord, I'm recognizing more and more as I age that I'm going to die. Now again, I know that I have probably a different mind. Anybody else in here ever imagine themselves in their casket? Does anybody else in here ever imagine dying? Does anybody in here think regularly about being dead, about dying, about leaving out of here? Because I do it. I do it regularly. I know I'm going to. And I'm going to tell you something. We'll bury you or you'll bury me. A reality. I don't know which will go first. You might be looking down on me. And I might be looking down on you. I want to say this to you tonight, though. So if it's me, I want this to be known. God's been good to me. And I thank Him for my almost 51 years. They've been real good. I've really enjoyed living for the Lord. I'm glad that He's chosen me to do what I do, and I'm glad that He gave me my family. Been very precious for me, and I have a good life, and I want to say publicly, I thank God for that. And I want to be true to that one goal that makes everything else pale in comparison. That one thing that's most important is my never dying soul. I will be successful if I gain nothing. I don't ever have to be president. I don't even have to be the dog catcher. I don't have to be known by anybody. I don't have to be recognized by anybody. I don't have to be praised by anybody. If I can be saved at the end, it'll be good enough for me. It'll be good enough for me. Folks, tonight, you have a soul. Tend to it. Make it your number one goal. Amen.